welcome to the Eurovision Division Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all 40 songs in this year's Eurovision Song Contest before this year's Eurovision Song Contest. As always, I'm your host, Yoon, and I've listened to all of these songs multiple times before.
And I'm the birthday girl, Mira, and I'm listening to all of these songs for the very first time.
It's that time of the year.
It's that time of the year where it's my birthday.
Yeah, and you're once more developing ever more cronely traits. You are growing into an older crone as the years go.
I'm growing more crone-like by the year, it's true.
This is the joke. We always say you're an old crone.
Do we?
I'm pretty sure I've said it multiple times on the show.
I am, though.
Playing the hits.
Speaking of playing the hits, we went to a concert yesterday. We went to a Sparks concert yesterday. My favorite band, Sparks. And they fucking played the hits, baby!
If all goes well, this episode is going out on Monday, which means that Monday night we'll be going to another concert, namely to a Mahmoud concert. So we will be having a very musical week.
Next Thursday we're seeing Nathy Frere.
Yeah, exactly.
So, lot of music this week. But of course, kicking
the whole thing off with Sparks.
Yeah, it's the only thing I care about. Well, no, it's pretty much the only thing I care about is Sparks. We haven't talked about Sparks that much on the podcast this year. I feel like we have talked about Sparks on the podcast this year, but not as much as I would like to. I feel like we should just start a Sparks podcast.
When have we talked about Sparks on the podcast?
Probably at some point when I say anything.
You must have.
I'm obsessed.
The male brothers, not like they're male brothers, which, I mean, of course they are, but
they're also not postmen.
No, they're not postmen. Band that's been around for a long time and still kicking. They are in their 70s. They're old, and they are making,
they're just jumping they around keep, on stage.
Keep making music.
They will not stop making music and making movies now? Have you guys seen Annette? Annette's the best fucking movie ever!
It is. That's the one that we should have brought up at some point. And I feel like it would have come up organically, say, if Malta hadn't changed their song to I Am Who I Am and they kept the creepy toddler on stage, then we would have mentioned Baby Annette.
Yes.
Once again, for those not in the know, you should watch Annette.
You should watch it if you want to. No, you should just watch it.
It's one of my favorite movies. Definitely my favorite movie that came out in the past year.
It's so good. It is about an Andy Kaufman-esque comedian who falls in love with an opera soprano. It's Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard. And it's, I don't want, that's why I think we haven't talked about it, is because I don't want to talk about it to people who haven't seen it yet. I just want them to see it. I want them to go in blind and just,
yeah, so the less you really know about what's going to happen, the better, I think. I didn't know a lot about what it was going to really be about when I saw it. And I was blown away. But also, I know a lot of people didn't like it, and I understand.
I think Sparks aren't
an easy band to begin with.
No. We were just talking about, they played a song yesterday that was never one of my favorites. They have so many songs. They release, like, what, 25, 26 albums? And they're releasing,
yeah, I haven't heard most of their songs.
Yeah. I'm a huge Sparks fan. I don't think I've heard more than 60% of their oeuvre. But yeah, yesterday they played Get in the Swing, which I've never liked as a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I went nuts for it yesterday,
yeah, it,
and I listened to it again today, and it's just a fucking good song. I don't know what I was thinking earlier.
I understand what they're doing with it. Like, okay, that's what you're doing here. Eurovision is much the same way, right? You'll hear an album track and be like, that does nothing for me, and then you'll see it live in the show itself, and they'll do something with it that makes you go, oh, that's what that was about.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing here. And that, you know, we'll have egg on our face. We'll say things on the podcast that will turn out to be patently untrue.
Yeah, the most famous example of this was Michael Spack, which we hated on the podcast. Yeah. And then it was my favorite song on the night. And I truly had to eat my words because I still love that song to this day. But yeah, with Sparks.
We'll be eating more than words later.
Mm. What?
That's a little teaser for the audience who knows what's coming.
With Sparks, if you listen to an album, there's bound to be a couple of songs on there that you're like, oh, that's not my favorite one on the album. But then the album is so good that you'll listen to the whole album 5 or 6 more times. And on that 6th listen, you will hear that song.
Times.
And you have to listen to it so much. And then suddenly you're like, oh no, that's what that's about. That's genius. And then it's your favorite song for the next 3 weeks until you listen to the next Sparks album for another 3 months where that's the only album you listen to.
If you would like to hear more people gushing about Sparks, heartily recommend the Edgar Wright documentary, Sparks Brothers, which I don't know what it's like for people who don't know the band to watch that movie. But it is a good primer, I think, on all of their songs and why they're funny and what is so brilliant about them.
When you read the Letterboxd reviews of the documentary, there are so many people commenting like, oh, they're a real band? I thought this was a fiction, like, I thought this was a mockumentary. I thought this documentary was about, like, a fictional band. But they are real.
How, like, I get it, because you...
Because it's such a crazy...
They sound ridiculous. They make ridiculous music. But it is like, how would they have done that? How would they have gotten actors to play these men? Yeah, it took 12 years to make.
It took 50 years to make.
It's not a Richard Linklater movie. It's Edgar Wright made a documentary about them. And it's just a lot of people talking about why they like Sparks songs, which I think is great.
God, they just played. It was so good, because when you go see a band, you're usually like, oh, I hope they just play all the songs I like.
Yes.
But with Sparks yesterday, I was like, I just want to see what they picked out. It doesn't have to be my favorites. I just want to see what they thought would be good for this particular tour. So yeah, they did play a couple. They had some weird picks. They played Under the Table, which I love, but it's like a pretty deep cut, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was nice.
It's good. But then they played my two favorite Sparks songs back to back.
They definitely built the whole thing up to, like, a good set list.
Very good set list.
Of, like, okay, let's start with So May We Start.
Of course. From Annette.
And then let's get some weird picks. Let's get something you, like, you might know a little bit. But then near the end of the show, like, okay, that's where we're going to put our big hitters. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, really built it up so that, like, at the end, I was also, like, so high.
Yeah, absolutely. The big showstopper was The Rhythm Thief, which
yes,
is, I think, one of the funniest songs ever written. It really is. The lyrics are, I am the rhythm thief, say goodbye to the beat. I am the rhythm thief. Auf Wiedersehen to the beat. It makes me laugh every time.
It's good.
It's,
oh no, where did the groove go?
Oh no, where did the groove go? Lights out Ibiza.
That's all you
it.
Need.
That's the song. It's so good. That's my favorite Sparks song of all time. It's the best one. And then they followed it up with my second favorite Sparks song, which is Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Which is a beautiful song about, like, not about, like, oh, protect the earth, not very, like, eco, mm-hmm. Not like their latest album, they had a song, Please Don't Fuck Up My World. That's more eco.
Okay, yeah.
Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth is more like, yo, Mother Earth will fuck you up. It's about, like, hey, have you ever seen a hurricane? That shit's scary. Don't trust her. She'll kill you. Damn.
Yeah, don't
turn your back on her.
Right.
She'll stab it. Towns are hurled from A to B by hands that looked so smooth to me. Never turn your back on Mother Earth.
It's just like, don't be deceived by natural beauty. Because the world's fucked up, right? Like,
and it's also like, don't turn your back on her, does have kind of an eco message of like, the more you cross her, the more she'll bring it. And, you know, this was a song from the 70s.
Yeah,
they released their two biggest albums in 1974. Propaganda and Kimono My House
both of the albums
are from
the
same year. This is insane.
They're hardworking boys.
And since then, the amount of natural disasters and climate change just has been happening, and that song is more relevant than ever because I'm terrified of nature.
Yeah, mountains.
These days?
Mountains, they crumble. Rivers, they run dry.
Oh my god, don't fuck with... Do this to me. Thinking about sparks, man. But I guess, yes, it's time to go to Eurovision.
And as you guessed from that last part, we're gonna get ecological this episode. We are going to think about Mother Earth.
Something I don't like to do because it does fill me with so much terror. Like, I'm so scared of climate change all the time.
Yeah, it sucks.
Constantly.
It's rough.
I really hate talking or thinking about it. Like, not to the point where I don't do anything about it, but like, it just gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah, well,
it fills me with dread constantly.
It's very. I feel very much like, oh, what the hell can you do about it? Because, you know,
as one person,
one is just so small. But I think that's what we have to ask ourselves. What are some of the things that we as individuals can do that, like, if more of us do that, will help?
Move to cities. Don't live in suburbs.
Move to cities. Yeah, that's a good one.
Density.
Interesting.
No more sprawl.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drive a car. Just really support.
We're getting somewhere?
Don't be a NIMBY.
Okay.
Don't be a not in my backyard shithead. Just like, accept that you will have neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ride a bike. Make diamonds.
We're getting somewhere.
That's like BBD.
We're getting somewhere. You said don't ride a car, ride a bike.
Take a train.
Take a train.
Bus.
Exactly.
Oh, are we going for trains?
Take
we were on a train yesterday.
The train. That's what I would like to... this is our first thing you can do to reduce your eco footprint.
Oh my gosh.
that's right. Each of these songs...
No.
...is about a thing you can do to reduce your ecological footprint.
No. Stop.
What?
So dumb. Is it just like a song about how you should take the train?
This song is coming...
We're just normal men. We're just innocent men.
No. No. We're taking the train specifically to go to Moldova.
Okay. Eurotrack. Eurorail?
Huh?
What's the, like, train ticket you can buy that takes you across Europe?
Oh, I don't know. That must have a name.
It does.
And Moldova's representatives have been to Eurovision before.
Really?
They have been to Eurovision twice before, even. Whether they have taken the train to get there the first two times, I don't know.
Are they going to take the train to Turin this year?
I sure hope so.
I'll kill them.
Singing Trenulettl, it's Stopsis Dup, who have been to Eurovision before in 2005 and in 2011. So that's 3 decades in a row now that they have made
fun.
An appearance at Eurovision. You might remember them if I say that they sang So Lucky, or if I tell you that they sang Bunika Bate Toba, which translates to Grandma Beats the Drum. which that might ring a bell, but 2005 might, like, I don't know if you were watching very intently at the time.
I did watch Eurovision every year before doing this podcast. Like, I did watch, I think maybe not, no, I think I did watch the semifinals.
Yeah, also. I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, you can watch and not really retain a lot of the songs. I was very much the same until, like, I started really following the contest. But I remember these guys. In 2005, one of my classmates seemed to not really vibe with their song because they were mad that they just had, like, a grandma on stage beating the drum. I don't remember what they were arguing about, and I was just kind of like, yeah, that ruled. That was funny. That was fun. They had a fun song.
Someone was mad about
with
them?
A good beat, and they had, like, an old lady grandma on stage who was beating the drum. That was funny. It was good. It's a good song, by the way. And then in 2011, they did So Lucky, which is most notable for the unicycles and the very large conical hats.
Yep.
That one probably, yeah, that's more recent.
Don't remember the song, remember the unicycles.
But a very memorable performance.
Yeah.
Yes. So they're back for 2022. Singing the song Treno Leggero. One notable little detail here is I'm showing you the first version of the song. It has been revamped a little bit since then to add a little bit of English to some of the verses and all that. But this is the music video that is out there, so I can only show you the original version. So this is Moldova's entry. Treno Leggero. Țară mic, țară nouă, parcă-i una, parcă-s două, ba o parte, ba preună, parcă-s două, parcă-i una. Hey ho, let's go, folclore în rock and roll, pleacă trenul.
I feel like I need to clear up a misunderstanding. I thought when you said these are all songs about things that reduce your ecological footprint,
uh-huh,
I thought they were going to be songs about how doing these things reduce your ecological.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be really stupid and somehow three songs fit that bill. Yeah. So that's not it. So that's more fun.
Yes, yes.
This is a very fun song. I love trains. I do love trains. Trains are...
Yeah, trains are great.
Have you ever been on a train? I love being on trains.
I love taking a train and going into a different country. That's the best part.
That's the best part of trains.
This absolutely, like, nails that feeling, but then also adds the additional layer of, like, what the fuck is a country?
Yeah.
Well, let's just go from Chișinău to Bucharest all the time. It doesn't matter that it's in a different country where, like, a lot of people that we know live in the other country and it might be hard to get there. We can just take the train and visit one another.
Yeah, it's so true, bestie.
Just a general kind of thing of, like, hey, take the train.
Especially in Europe where you can really take the train fucking anywhere and it's not a big deal.
There are many options, yeah.
There are so many options. There's night trains now again. There used to be night trains, mm-hmm, and then they got rid of the night trains because people started driving cars like idiots.
It's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
To think, like, oh yeah, that's because people are driving cars. Oh.
That's so sad. It's so sad.
I mean, we all miss, like, you know, the romanticized train where everyone has their own little compartment and everyone dresses up on the train and there's a murder mystery.
We all miss the murders on the trains, yes.
But beyond the, like, ooh, the Orient Express for the rich kind of fantasy, it's like...
Taking a train is just really fun.
Yeah, trains are fun beyond just that. And, like... It would be cool if we just had more, like, more trains to travel with.
And also, if they weren't so expensive.
And if they
Why
weren't
are
so
they
expensive?
So expensive?
I mean, that's the most important part.
Why is it more expensive to take a train to London than it is to take a 30-minute plane journey, which is completely unnecessary? They built the tunnel for it. Shouldn't it be more accessible?
It's going all the time.
It's going all the time. It's only like, what, a 2-3 hour train
journey?
It's not
very long.
It's not even that long.
I can't comprehend flying to the UK because you'd go to Heathrow, which is London. So that just makes me go, I'll take the Eurostar from Brussels go through the tunnel to London. I'll be in the middle of London when I get off my train.
Yeah, Heathrow, never been there.
Literally, don't know what it looks like.
Don't know what it looks like. We've taken the Flixbus to London.
Yeah.
Or not the Flixbus, or the Euro line?
I think it was a Flixbus, though. It was something comparable. I think it was a Flixbus.
Yeah. Also miserable.
Yes. I much prefer the train.
The train is the best mode of long distance
transport. You tend to have...
transport. It really is.
You know, you have a seat to yourself. You have a compartment to put your luggage in. Yes, you have that on an airplane, too. Trains usually have enough space to put your legs. Usually on a train, enough space to put your legs.
Also,
Never on an airplane.
Never. A train doesn't get stuck in traffic.
That's right. It's on rails.
So it's not like a bus.
I mean, trains do get delayed. And that does happen sometimes.
Like in Bielefeld, when we went to Germany.
Right, we did get stuck in Bielefeld on a train for 2 hours because, you know, there was someone on the track. So the train couldn't keep going because, you know, that makes it hard to do that.
But also...
You're going to get fewer people jumping in front of airplanes.
It's true, but, you know... climate change kills people. It makes them miserable. It makes them more likely to jump in front of the train tracks.
I don't think it should be as cheap and easy as it is to take a plane. I'm not saying, like, make things more expensive for people. I'm saying make trains less expensive.
Absolutely.
Make the ecological option the most
attractive
option.
You know why people hate living in cities? It's because there's fucking cars everywhere and they're so loud.
You don't want it.
Early episode plug, watch the Not Just Bikes video on YouTube titled Cities Aren't Loud, Cars Are Loud. And it'll change the entire way you view the world. Cities aren't loud. It's cars. This is a constant rush of cars making you completely fucking miserable. And
yeah, I like cities. I like density. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like neighbors and corner stores.
Corner stores and bars and restaurants and places you can go to that you don't need to... yeah, get on a bus or a car or your bike even for to
get
there.
Not even your bike. You can just walk.
But like, I like biking a lot too.
I love biking.
I like going a couple of streets down on my bike. That's wonderful. And I love taking the train. I love when people sing songs about trains. I love when people have fun on a train.
Fuck cars is what I'm saying every day of my life these days.
Yeah, so I mean, this song does a pretty decent job at conveying, like, oh yeah, the train. The video is very fun. It's
a very fun
it's
video.
It's got that very dry... what I'm assuming is typical Moldovan humor. I'm just going to assume, because there's just something very, like...
very unique about
it. Yeah, very funny about it.
You have to assume it's Moldovan.
The carpet that has the image of the Moldovan king on it is...
from the 15th century, and you have to salute it. It's so good. I have no idea who this king is.
I can imagine... That joke must land so well.
Like, I know,
the joke is presented in such a good way that I'm like, I don't get it, but if you get it, it must land so well, because I still think it's funny. Just then the train conductor... happily stamping everyone's passports to the beat.
After seeing the king.
Yeah, that's great. Because I think there's also a layer there of, like, whose king is this? Because, you know, the Moldovan king in the 15th century or whatever...
was the country even named Moldova?
Moldova? What part was Moldova and what part wasn't? Like... That's really good. And it this song also just highlights, another thing, which is the kind of arbitrary nature of countries, which I agree with, but is not something that I'm going to strongly fight for, right?
Right, because I think...
There was a period, when there was a big wall in Berlin.
And I think I've heard something
about
that.
You've heard something about that, maybe?
Yeah.
When, you know, there was obviously a lot of music about, like, no more borders, even in Eurovision. Keine Grenzen. That was very much like, we don't want borders anymore. And I'm still like, I don't need those. Those don't help me. And we're still going through so many situations that need refugees to cross borders.
I know.
It's still like so such a thing.
I think it's also for us, we are smack dab in the Schengen zone.
Yeah.
Borders generally don't mean much to us anyway. But for us and the countries around us.
We're not politicians. We are not, like, geographers. I don't know enough to, like, give you the full picture here, but it's just kind of like,
what's a country even? I don't.
Yeah, in my personal intuition or, like, experience with that, I'm like, yeah, I can go to the Netherlands because it's, you know, that's our neighboring country, and I'll be like, oh yeah, this is a different country, and I don't hate that. I like going to a different country and realizing, oh, this is a different place.
Yeah, that's nice.
But obviously the point where you go, oh, we're in a different country now, is obviously very arbitrary when you think about it.
Wait, there was the... So, the border between Belgium and the Netherlands was very relevant 2 years ago during the COVID.
Oh, that's
the
right.
The height of the COVID crisis.
Yeah, of course.
Because there's one town that is half Belgian, half Dutch, and you literally see the border is, like, very quirkily paved down the street. And there's a restaurant that's in the Netherlands, but the terrace of the restaurant is in Belgium. And there's, like, a store, the Zeeman, which is... Half of the store is in Belgium and half is in the Netherlands. And what happened was, Belgium said, all stores need to close. And the Netherlands said, we can keep stores open for a little bit. So that particular Zeeman had to half close. Like, people could go get cleaning brushes, but they couldn't get underwear.
Oh, so it wasn't
because
like,
the underwear
it wasn't like
was on the Belgian
only,
side.
You can only enter on the Dutch side and the rest of the store is open?
No, the entrance was on the Dutch side.
Yeah, so then I would be like, you've entered there.
No!
Oh, wow.
No, half the store was like taped off.
I feel like I missed that.
It was
so
bizarre.
I do remember, obviously, a lot of like, you know, different rules and different measures depending on what country you're in. And so a lot of people crossing... Or who live near the border just going like, well, I'll go be in the Netherlands then. I'll take 5 steps and I'm in the Netherlands and there I can do this, do that, do that. Like,
the worst part of that was earlier this past year, because we were faster in closing down the stores and the Netherlands were later in doing that. That meant we opened our stores earlier, and all of the Dutch people came to fucking Antwerp in their cars.
Right, yep.
And Antwerp was a nightmare for days.
And I'm just there thinking, there's a train that goes directly from Antwerp to Amsterdam.
You could have just taken the train, my people.
There is an airport in Antwerp that's there for no reason.
No reason whatsoever.
Everybody wants it gone. No one likes it.
Nobody's doing anything about closing it anymore.
There was a plan to close it for a while, and it's not.
People are like, you can use it for business trips. Cool. Do you know what else you can use for business trips? The train.
We have an airport in Brussels. There is a direct train from the center of Antwerp to the Brussels airport. There's no train to the Antwerp airport, so you can't get there. So it's not, if you fly to the Antwerp airport and you need to get into Antwerp, you need to do what you usually need to do in airports is take a shuttle bus or like get rent a car or whatever the fuck. And it's like, it's a lot easier if there's a direct train from your airport, even if you have to use an airport.
If there's bad traffic between Deurne, where like the subsection of Antwerp,
where the airport is.
And the center of Antwerp. If there's bad traffic, which there's often is, it'll take you longer to get by car from the airport to the center of the city than it would to fucking take the train.
The route from the airport in Antwerp to the center of Antwerp is pretty residential. Like, if you go from from the airport to the center, you would have to go through some, like, residential areas. And I'm like, don't send any cars don't through there.
Send cars!
Let people live there. Where people live, there shouldn't be cars. Anyway, we have we hate cars. We had an episode about how we hated cars last year as well, where you said cars should be fictional.
They should be. They are very fun when they are fictional.
But hey, trains are real. Anything else about this song? Because
I like traditional sounding songs.
Yeah, it's fun.
I like a polka. This wasn't a polka, but you know.
There's been a bit of a tweak.
I like a klezmer. This also isn't klezmer.
But yes, it's very good sound. It sounds good. It sounds fun. It's energetic. Yeah, it's one of the few like songs that sound that has like a national quote unquote sound, because this is specifically a song about, you know, transcending nationalism by way of just let us take the train into a different country. But it's one of the few songs that has like a sound like this that I think does appeal to an audience. It's the folklore of it. Folklore and rock and roll, that's what they say. Like, hey ho, let's go.
That's a very cute line, but they do repeat it too much.
Yes, there's a lot of repetition. But the song has had a few little tweaks at Eurovision, so it's not gonna sound the same.
Well, I'm excited to hear it.
But overall I like this. I think it's really cute. And I approve of the message. Let us impart that on you, the listening audience. Take the train.
Take the train. It's so fun.
But of course, that's not the only thing you can do to reduce your ecological footprint.
Oh, God.
We have many other things that we could be doing. What else? What else could we be doing?
We could push the CEOs of, like, I think 100 companies that are killing the Earth off the cliff. Or guillotine.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that those companies are shut down and stop doing anything. Just fuck off. You're all bankrupt now and yes, you're all going to jail.
Yes, but have you considered that women can be CEOs now?
We've put women under guillotines before.
Well, we sure, being rich. We sure have, but like, you know, at what point does your feminism, if it's coming up against your ecological, girl boss, you gotta let the girl boss is girl boss. You can't climate. Come on.
That's not as important as feminism. Girls can kill the planet too.
Yeah. Come on. There's no song about that, unfortunately.
Ah, dang it. What else? You can reduce waste. Stop buying fast fashion and not even recycle. Reduce is the most important.
Yes. Yeah,
reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce is the most important.
It's the first one.
People forget it, but you have to stop buying shit.
Yes, Latvia had a song about that in their national selection. Was that last year or 2 years ago? 2 years ago? About fast fashion. Didn't make it to Eurovision, obviously. Yeah. Called Polyester. Not a very competitive song, but quirky and fun about buying t-shirts for and I quote, just $1. We live in Europe, maybe. That's not a currency that we use.
How many pennies in the slot? I should say we bought t-shirts at the Sparks concert, which is kind of... Concerts are the only place I still buy, like, new clothes or, like, t-shirts. I don't
buy
t-shirts
anymore. Yeah, I get that. I understand now why that is the way it is.
As merch... And they are certified organic cotton.
Yeah. That's very good. There are, of course, other important habits that you can pick up to...
Composting!
Yes. I'm thinking of something that we don't do ourselves.
Ooh. Oh, is it a song about being a vegetarian?
It sure is.
Yeah, we should. Well, we don't eat that much meat.
We reduce our meat intake. Rather than like fully banishing meat from our diet, we are not vegan, we are not vegetarian. We eat meat, you know, more than we probably should. You can always eat less.
You
can always eat none. I don't need meat with every meal, which a lot of meat eaters do. And that's why I'm not patting myself on the back for doing half work, but it is like... The worst users here do a really bad job of it. There's such meat fetishism.
There's such people who are like, where's the meat? Like, who cannot have a single dinner without meat. And it's kind of reflected when we have friends who are vegan or vegetarian, or like family members who are vegan or vegetarian come to our house. And I specifically ask them, like, okay, what's your diet so that I can adjust what I'm cooking? Yeah. And, like, so often they say, oh, I'll bring something, or, oh, I'll like, eat no, at man. Home. And I'm like, no, you're coming to my house, and I'm cooking for you. I know how to cook vegan.
It's exciting to make different kinds of food. It's nice to cook vegetarian, it's nice to make a vegan dish, it's nice to eat your salad.
I love salad. Oh, is this a song about salad?
Yeah, this song is called Eat Your Salad.
I love salad. Like a blueberry, arugula, and balsamic vinegar.
Yeah, great.
Salad with some Parmesan.
Parmesan's cheese.
Ah, no!
No longer vegan. Cheese.
Parmesan isn't even vegetarian.
Right.
Parmesan has, like, stomach lining in it.
A lot of cheese actually isn't vegetarian. Yeah. I think that's why the vegan movement probably gained a lot more traction, is because a lot of vegetarians were like, well, actually, this isn't just milk. Like, there's a lot more in this that is animal product. And I get it. I really get it. But I don't think it's a moral failing that I enjoy the taste of cheese. I like yogurt. I shouldn't have dairy, but I like it.
We also both, like, you're a very skinny man and I have anxiety. Diets are a bad idea for us.
Yeah. I kind of don't want to be like, oh, I can't eat this. Which is why I'm afraid to, like, find out about, like, allergies or intolerances or, like, bowel diseases or whatever the hell. Because I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to have to, like, start paying attention to that, because I do just like eating things.
I had to do the FODMAP diet for a while.
It's just like,
and
I'm sorry, but you like eating things.
I really do just like eating. It did help. It reset my stomach for a little bit, which is what it's meant to do. It made me not have a stomach ache constantly. It only made me have a stomach ache some of the time. But what everyone told me, my doctor, my dietitian, and my therapist, was like, the thing you need to do to not have a stomach ache all the time is to not worry about things so much.
Great.
So, give me an extremely limiting diet that I have to follow for 6 months.
Oh, you have to worry, like, oh god, did I eat a bit of onion?
My favorite food, onion?
Like, yeah, sorry, man, I'm not gonna restrict my onion intake. In fact, I will eat more onions than is conscionable for a person.
I do love onions so much. An onion soup? God, give me it.
Yes. But let's talk about salad. I was thinking of keeping this one for last, but now that we've gotten here now that our conversation has brought us here, why not? Let's go to Latvia, because I brought them up before with the t-shirts. Now they're bringing us another ecologically thoughtful ecological message of eating your salad. These boys are called Citizeni, and they are singing Eat Your Salad.
Nice. Oh, when you eat your veggies, baby, think of me. I just eat vegetables and pussy.
Yeah. Instead of meat, I eat veggies and
pussy. Can you say that at your
official? No, you cannot. No, you very much cannot.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a hot button issue.
I mean, it's a good lyric.
It's an incredible lyric. It's like
very good.
Good start.
really gets you in the song immediately. It's
like, you need that also to kind of get like, okay, this is just going to be...
This is going to be I don't feel hate, but a little better.
Yes, this is going to be stupid, and it's going to make you go like, do I hate this?
I think it's too... Like, it's very easy to hate songs like this, because they are kind of cringe.
Right, yes.
They are.
It's the cringe of it. I think this video does a really good job of getting, like, the tone of jokiness across, where it's not preachy, and it's also not trying to be, like, too hard on the, like, it's cool to be an... it's even cool to recycle.
Lyric, yeah. I think it's just, like, a very catchy song.
Yes, yeah.
It's just very catchy, so that offsets the cringe a little bit. And also, I do agree with the message. Being green is sexy as fuck.
Yeah. There's
nothing less attractive to me than a car.
Right. Without necessarily, like, I mean, yes, the primary first, the first idea here is don't eat meat or eat less meat. And I'm like, I agree. Like, you know, purely...
I'm going to say there's nothing less sexy to me than a car. But also what I find extremely unattractive is people who fetishize meat eating.
Yes, for sure.
I think it's so gross. I think enjoying a fancy steak is very nice. But needing a steak with every meal... Or, like, hailing steak as the best food in the world.
Have you ever had a bad steak?
Oh, it's so gross.
And it's like, that's gross. But it's also just kind of like, it, on one hand, it's like you feel bad because, like, oh, I ordered a steak and it's bad. I didn't get the thing I ordered. You
something,
know,
something died for this.
But then it's also like, yeah, something died for this.
And it's not even good. I'm not even enjoying it.
Yeah, it's very tragic. And so I'd be like, yeah, it's better to not eat meat at all. Rationally fully agree. I will admit I'm not perfect on that, but I agree. I agree with that message.
That it is just sexy if someone cares about the environment.
Yeah, just like think twice about the things you do.
It shows that someone stands consciously on this earth.
And use it all as really cheesy pickup lines. Well, not cheesy, I guess. Like a
disgusting? Disgusting pickup lines?
Sure, yeah.
But like, nice.
that line takes up most of the spotlight for sure. I really enjoy, I ride my bicycle to work instead of a car. All of my groceries are divided by weight and stored in glass jars.
Perfect.
I think that's my favorite line
in
the song.
That also stood out to me.
That one is like, the rhythm of it is so perfect for the joke to, like, completely come across. I think that is a really well-written line, and that's the one that makes me go, like, oh, yes, I ride my bicycle to work. Okay,
I'm there. I do that.
I'm in the song a little bit. I like the sort of momentary non sequitur when he says, all aboard the green Titanic. Because you're like,
yikes.
Sorry? That's the Titanic sank. That's bad. But then the punchline to that is, no ice in the way, no need to panic.
Oh, no.
Like,
that hurts.
Funny.
It's so good.
It's so painful.
It does hurt.
But it's a lot cleverer than it actually has any business being. Once you listen to this a little more, you're like, oh, this is actually nice. Yeah,
it's actually a good song. Like,
I don't like this. I don't very much like the second verse when he says my sausage is bigger. I'm like, that's crass. That's not funny.
Yeah.
That's not funny for me.
If you say you eat pussy, that's good of you. If you say you have a big hog, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like,
that's toxic masculinity, and you can't be an environmentalist and also be a toxic guy.
You've already said you eat pussy. It's like...
Yeah, then it doesn't matter how big your dick is. You'll get the job done no matter what if you eat pussy. So,
But, you know, that's one line where, first few listens I got kind of fixated on that because I was like, I don't get this. This joke doesn't work for me. because that first verse for me is so very strong and funny. But I think at that point, whoever's going to be on board for this is on board.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this song overcomes a lot of hurdles to be a good song.
Yeah, it's not...
It has everything working against it, but it still is catchy and fun.
Like, it's a message song, which is usually like, oh god, but it makes it funny, which is already like, oh, you're gonna do a joke song, but then, like, those things kind of work together, and the joke, I think, is easy enough to understand without having to, like, have a really good grasp of language, because it's being green is fun. But it's targeting a young audience who speaks good English.
Who speak English.
Like, you know, it's targeting an audience who will understand these lyrics.
Yeah.
More so than a lot of other songs often do, where they're targeting a broad audience. But I think, like, if you're on board with this, it's a good joke song. It's just kind of what I'm saying. Like, a joke song in the sense that, like, it's got a bit, right?
There's a good bit in it. Yeah.
I don't know. There's been some debate on the topic of you know, joke songs at Eurovision. When we talk about this, and I hesitate to say it, Subwoofer. Oh no, she fell asleep.
I'm asleep now.
But
the end of the episode, I'm asleep.
But my thing is that this joke, it's obvious to me what, like, the premise of the joke is in this song. We're gonna, like, pretend like all of these, you know, really decent things to do are very sexy. Like, yeah. I am doing them to pick up chicks.
I'm trying to impress an environmentalist girl.
Yeah. Whereas, Give That Wolf a Banana, I go, what does that mean? What is that?
I think the closest I've ever gotten to inflicting physical violence on my romantic partner, Jeroen, and my romantic partner and podcast co-host, was when I showed him a video recently of a husky puppy making weird noises like huskies do. And it sounds like he's saying banana, and I honestly just thought it was a cute video. And he said, someone give that wolf a banana, and it was ruined for me.
You must see where I was coming from, though.
No, I get it. I get that that's the only thing you could have said. It made me very angry. Yeah. Pissed me off, man.
But yeah, you have these two big presences of songs, like Eat Your Salad and Give That Wolf a Banana, food themed, both of them, kind of, with both like an imperative of like, eat your salad, give that wolf a banana, both like orders of your audience to do something, both joke songs. There is obvious parallels to draw here. I'm like, I do like this better.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, yeah, no, but my
one of them is the worst song.
Yes,
and one of them is okay.
My initial response to both of these was kind of like, oh god. But like, I have come around to this quite quickly once I listened to the lyrics and was like, no wait, this is genuinely quite funny. When this video came out, I was also like, oh no, I get what they're doing here.
One of the joke songs has wit. The other one has...
This is witty.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is witty in like an unexpected way, kind of, where you're like, oh, this is actually funnier than I like thought it was.
Yeah, it's nice seeing like eco humor not making fun of hippies.
Sure, yeah. It's punching from within, you know? Like, it's... It feels written from the perspective of someone who genuinely doesn't eat meat, but thinks that, like, it is very funny to be very sanctimonious about all that, and to, like, just say, like, no, we're all just still having fun, and...
Yeah, we're all still fucking.
Yeah, great. Obviously, you can't say pussy.
What are they gonna do?
You can't stop an arena full of people of saying pussy, though.
They can't stop all of us.
They can't stop all of us. They can't stop all the people in the audience. They can't stop everyone at home from just saying pussy. If they just decide to be quiet, then everyone else will fill in the pussy, surely.
I would love that. I'd love to see it.
Now that's actually great. You've added another like reason for people to watch this. You've added another reason for people to talk about this song beforehand because it has a controversial lyric. I think it's actually very smart. I think this is a very smart like move here.
I've said Eurovision can survive a dick slip if there's a dick slip and pussy.
Iconic
year. Then it'll be a banner year once more. Just, that's what I want. Shirtless, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's not even wearing a shirt under that suit, I think.
Perfect. Just open up that suit a little bit. Let me see those vegan bones.
No meat on those bones.
We have friends who are vegan, and there's a certain type of vegan. Like, I have a lot of friends who are vegan, yeah, and there's, you know, like all people,
you've been
ones
in the,
who
you've
are
been
fun
in the art,
and
will
one,
you?
Yeah, ones who are fun and ones who are annoying. The worst ones are the ones who are like, I'm vegan, I really watch out for what I put in my body, and then they just do so many drugs. I really care about the environment and animals and everything. You want some cocaine?
No, thank you. I really don't just put anything in my body. Well.
Well. Debatable.
Debatable, yes.
What else is good for the environment? Now I want you to... No, you already know what the song is. Shit.
Yes, I'll guess what else we could do to reduce our ecological footprint.
No more plastic. Or just at least a more conscious use of plastic.
Well, yes, but we've been talking about taking the train, no cars. We've been talking about like what we eat. There's obviously also just the question of... energy.
Ah, yes. Solar power, wind power.
Yes, where do we get our
energy?
No more. And also,
gas or oil.
How do we use that energy? When do we run our appliances? When do we have the heating on? When do we turn the lights off?
Oh, when we're getting sexy.
Sometimes, yeah. Or just when we're not in a room, we turn the lights off.
Oh, is the song Lights Off?
Yes, the song is called Lights Off.
I thought you said it so slowly because you were insinuating, like, turning the lights off to fuck.
If I had, like, two songs in this episode about getting nasty, getting down with it, getting sexual, why would I have made the theme ecological footprint? Why would
that
I have
gone... funny.
Sure, yes. Maybe. I mean, I think the bedroom is mentioned in this song, so let's see about that. This one's coming to us from the Czech Republic. Their song is called Lights Off, and they are represented by We Are Domi.
What?
We Are Domi.
How do you spell Domi?
D-O-M-I.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I believe that is short for Dominika, which is the lead singer of the group.
So she is Domi.
Yes, but they're called We Are Domi. They're all Domi.
Is this like a Spartacus situation?
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's listen to this GD song.
So, post-Earth Day, let's turn the lights off. This is the Czech Republic, We Are Domi, and Lights Off.
Try changing jobs, try changing lovers, changing my furniture, change my bed covers. I change my heart. Where are you now? Can I miss you? You're sailing around in my peripheral. Where are you now? Where are you now? Where are you now?
Makes you think, don't it?
Well,
society, man.
Yeah.
It's like they're always watching you and they want to keep you down. They want to keep you from thinking for yourself.
I mean, they are always watching you. And that's less like da government, but more da Facebook.
Yeah.
More every television that has a little microphone in it, your device that you carry with you all day that does see what you search on the internet and records your voice. Like, the metaphor isn't completely unfounded of, like...
No!
You have a device...
It's absolutely not, but it's not, it's not the government! But no one is... The government's fucking incompetent!
Punishing you for not buying into the technology. Exactly. That's usually where, like, Black Mirror stories kind of fail, where it's like... These things have, no, they have not completely taken over. Like, yes, I mean, in a lot of cases, it's very hard to avoid, you know, your technology and social media. Yeah. It's going to be in your everyday
life. If you're
life.
Off the grid, it is going to be harder for you to find a job. Yeah. It's going to be harder for you to go to the bank or, like, you know, navigate everyday life, but you will not be thrown in jail for not having a phone.
Yeah, you're not a social pariah when you delete your Facebook. In fact, if you don't delete your Facebook, you might be a weirder person.
I still have my Facebook because I use it for free cycle groups. Also good for the environment, but that doesn't mean I like it.
Facebook's one of the few platforms where, like, I think their group function still works. Where it's like people make a post and people comment on it. It's like, that's great.
It's like a forum.
It's one of the few things that does still kind of work like a forum without, you know, actual forums, of which there are still some.
I think that Reddit does a better job at it, but Facebook can be more local.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you can more select who gets to see your group.
Yeah, like Facebook can be like, here is where you can put stuff that you want to give away for free in this section of Antwerp.
Yeah.
So that people can come pick up your shit.
And they'll be like, I have a broken TV, and I'll put it on the FreeCycle page.
It was so good! We had a broken TV, and I put it on a FreeCycle page. Someone came to our house that day. This TV was like, busted. The graphics card was, like, frizzled. And they opened the door, and this dude in front of the door saw the TV and did a little dance of joy. He did a little jig. And I truly think that's so delightful. And I would love if there was a platform to do these things on that wasn't Facebook.
Yeah, because it's Facebook, anyone can also just fucking comment on your post, and you'll be like, who the hell are you? What are you talking about?
Oh my god, that same busted TV that I put on Facebook, some fucking old lady, some boomer, commented on the guy who ended up coming to get it, who said, like, oh, I'll come pick it up today. Someone commented on that, like, what are you gonna use it for?
Like, that's
none of your fucking business. I don't care what he uses. He can shove it up his ass for all I care. I just want it out of my house. Like, this woman was so concerned that he was gonna sell it.
It's like, and I'm like, if he does the effort to repair it, then he can do that.
I don't give a shit.
Or if he finds someone to sell it, great. That means I didn't have to do that.
Exactly. It's so weird the way that people are like...
There are no good social media platforms, essentially, is what we're saying. There are no good social media platforms. They don't exist.
Yeah, not since LiveJournal.
I knew you were going to say that. Have you heard about Tumblr? You heard about people sponsoring posts? Like, or like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like, boosting posts?
Boosting their own posts?
You can pay,
yeah,
like, $10 to boost your post, but it isn't targeted to anyone. It's just, like, randomly, like, this just makes sure that 100 extra people see your post that don't follow you. It's not linked to their interests or nothing, so people are just like, look at my dog.
It's like the sort of thing where it's like, yeah, people buy hundreds of likes on Instagram or whatever, right? Where it's like, that is not real engagement, or like you buy a boosted marketing post on your Facebook page, and it's like, that's not really real engagement.
But it just makes sure that more people see your shit, or that the algorithm picks
it
up more easily.
But it's a lot funnier to do that kind of thing for a... any particular for nothing that's important.
Yeah, just look at my dog, or I have a lizard.
That's great.
I love that shit.
It's wonderful.
Or it's just some stupid shower thought, and I'm genuinely contemplating going back to Tumblr.
For that? Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Do they have porn again yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, then I might not. Anyway, this song... no matter how stupid this video is, because it's quite stupid.
It's a little stupid, yeah.
Someone watched Mr. Robot.
I do like when her bandmates show up to rescue her from,
they just look like the two fucking lamest guys.
I mean, they are, but it's just like, yeah, we can tell who is in the band.
Yep.
you can tell that she's the front woman and that she's charismatic for a reason, because she can, she can carry the Hunger Games-ass video by just, like, looking around thoughtfully. It's like, great.
Sign that says no superheroes.
Yeah, and then they show up and they're like, here, come with us. And then instead of taking their hand immediately and going to the performance part of the video, which is what we're waiting for the entire time, sooner, so that we get to see them as a band for longer, they prolong that and only have them performing on the roof for like 10 seconds.
The performance on the roof is the best part of the video, because she's wearing a really fun outfit and she's jumping around having fun. And that's what you want to see. That could be the whole video.
And this dude's playing like his guitar with like a violin bow.
Sick.
It's cool as shit. That, like, oh no, this is what you want to see.
They look so lame in the video and so good as a band.
Yeah, that you're just like, no, lead with that. Don't lead with it. Let us wait for it, but like, get there. That's what Goé did very good in the video for Shum. Like, they got in their car, then drove to the woods, and then they performed and got all the
ruled.
They Pied Pipered all the children to the woods to dance.
I'm getting vibes from that. Is good.
The song's pretty good, right? Like
the song's pretty good. I the video doesn't do it any favors because I was just distracted by how lame the video was. But the song, like, I really like the lyric of try changing jobs, try change all these things.
Try changing jobs, try changing lovers, changing my furniture, change my bed covers.
Very good.
It's like, that's cute, because you don't hear a lot of songs acknowledging that you have to change your bed cover sometimes.
Oh, should we change our bed covers?
Probably, yeah.
You have to do it more often when you have a dog that sleeps in the bed with you, because they get nasty.
Yeah. We should probably do it more often.
Yeah, but we do it more often since getting a dog.
Yes, that's true.
We used to not do it as often.
No. It's just like, let's change some things about my life. Like, what are the achievable goals that I can change to feel like I'm making a difference in, like, bettering myself? I need a new job. Yeah, we can't just do that. I need to, like, date someone. Yeah, but that's, like, putting myself out there. Okay, I can buy new furniture.
Or that costs money.
Change my bed covers.
Yeah.
It kind of, like, it works back to, like, the obtainable thing.
Yeah, I think it's a very smart lyric.
And then it's also, ties into the song, the title of, like, turning the lights off when there are too many overwhelming things to do. Get under your covers, turn the light off, and just go to sleep.
I've done that. I do that a lot.
Like, it's still relatively vague, but yeah, it feels like, oh yeah, I vibe with the ideas that are, like, being very gently touched on here.
It's quite a good song. It's not exceptional, but it's quite good.
Yeah,
and it has some clever lyrics.
This is one of the earliest ones to be selected this year, so I was getting worried that, like, maybe it, like, didn't hold up anymore, you know, because it's, like, a song that you hear early on, and you're like, okay, yeah, it's good, this is what we got, and it's, like, kind of the benchmark that a lot of things have been, like, weighed up against. But I still really like this. I worry a little bit about, like, the vocal, because that "Where Are You Now" is a very long note, and it's like, you gotta nail that, because that's like your...
If you stumble at any point during that note, everyone's gonna have heard that.
Or if it just is slightly off, it's like, that is all that's going on in that moment.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, with any and all vocals, it's like, you gotta be sure that you can do it when you do it. There have been a lot of, like, technical issues at pre-parties, it seems like, this year, which have meant that the note hasn't always been very good. So, like, the worry is, you know, compounded by that, where I'm just like, I do want her to, like, nail that note. I don't want this to, like, fall flat. It has the unfortunate potential to be, like, the song that everyone likes and that somehow doesn't really do it at the show itself. I'm very worried that this is it.
Yeah.
But it feels like it does fit in that, like, in that category of expectation, which is a shame because, yeah, I liked it. I was very like, ooh, where this is going on, where is this going on first listen? And then, yeah, immediately kind of was there, like, immediately got it. It's very easy to get. It's, you know, it's a danceable EDM track. It's like, yeah, of course, everyone, like, understands that.
Yeah.
But you just gotta do it well.
I hope she does. I hope she nails it.
Yeah, I mean, I like them. These two guys are just kind of lame, but that's great.
That any two guys are kind of lame.
Yeah, but that's good. It's just funny that they made a video where it's not like they're trying to look cool. They're doing the bare minimum that they could have done in this, I guess. I mean, even less would be if they only showed up for the performance at the end, I guess. But it's like... Okay.
So funny. We have now listened to 29 songs.
That's true. This was the 29th song out of 40 that we've listened to.
In almost exactly half an hour, I will be 29 years old.
A little less than 29 minutes.
I'm going to be 29.
How do you feel?
Young. I feel like 29 is still really young. It feels fine. I know I had a couple of crises where I started getting gray hairs and my skin is still just not as healthy as I want it to be. I have zits.
Yeah, but that...
Why?
But, you know, doesn't that make you feel even younger?
Yeah, I guess. Zits? I don't know. It just makes me feel stressed, which is why I have zits.
That's why, yeah. that's why that happens.
It's a different kind of feeling young. I feel young among old people, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm not the youngest anyone can be anymore, but I'm still relatively very young.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm the youngest person who works at my job as well.
I definitely am,
and
yes.
So are you. So it's like, it's that kind of thing where I'm like, well, I'm 30 now, but I'm still part of, like, the young squad at the library. So it's like... Yeah.
And I think we're also, like, getting to that age where we're like, where are we gonna live for the rest of our lives together? Are we gonna buy a house? Are we gonna get married? Are we gonna have children?
What's our careers gonna be?
And it just feels... It kind of feels like changing schools. It kind of feels like going to college.
Try changing lovers.
Yeah.
Changing our furniture, changing our bed covers.
I feel like we've pretty much, like, learned how to be adults in the past 5 years, and now it's kind of like, are we going to be adults for the next 50
years? Yeah, all of that's, like, kind of falling into place of, like, okay, now that you know all that, what are we going to do with that?
What are we going to do with it? How are we going to be adults? What kind of adults are we going to be? Are we going to be the parents kind of adults? Are we going to be the career kind of adults? Are we going to be, like, the weird, like, the crazy people kind of adults?
We are already the crazy people kind of adults.
So
we
true,
have a
bestie. Jesus, yeah.
Ah, the passage of slime.
Ew. Passage of slime. That's just a pussy, babe.
Instead of me. Well, there we have it. Three songs and three ways to reduce our ecological footprint. Turn the lights off when we're not in a room. Eat less meat. And take the train.
And take the train.
I think those are good principles to live by. Just good things that anyone can do that aren't like a big ask, that aren't gonna save the planet just by you yourself doing it, but it...
But it gets you in the mindset where you're of just durability. Like,
okay, this is something...
That I should like, care about.
Same thing here with lights off. Start with your achievable goals.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, turn the lights off when you leave a room. Change your bed covers. Do the first thing that will help you, like, feel good about the future.
You know what's an achievable goal for pretty much everyone? Watching the movie Annette.
Do watch Annette.
Liking it may not be an achievable goal for everyone. It is very weird. But everyone can watch it.
It's got Adam Driver in it. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. He's got Marion Cotillard. And she's Simon Hedberg as a breakout talent.
Good actor.
Really good performance.
So that's our
plug. Please watch Annette.
That's our plug for the episode. Do watch Annette.
And then get into Sparks and become a huge Sparks fan. And tell me about how much you like Sparks. Because I'm going to tell everyone about how much I like Sparks for the rest of my life, baby.
In case you missed it, we also have a bonus episode up. You can find the link to that on our Twitter, which is at Eurodivision. Or you can go directly to ko-fi.com/Eurovision Division.
It is behind a paywall, but all of the money we make from that is going to go directly to Ukrainian refugee relief.
So if you feel like hearing more stuff where we talk about different music for a little bit, go check that out. But that's all that we have left to tell you. See you next time when we'll be listening to more songs from this year's Eurovision Song Contest. Good night, Europe.
Good night, Europe.
Don't condescend at me.